This is When Spirit Calls, and you on your journey are in the right place. This show is about magic, miracles, and meaning shared through stories, interviews, and channeled messages. We have so much to share about who you are and your divine mission here on the earth. Let's get to it. When Spirit Calls is right now. Our guest on the podcast today is Ainsley McSorley, and I'm so excited to share a little bit of her background with all of you and dive into today's podcast. Ainsley McSorley is a confidence and authenticity coach dedicated to helping women break free from limiting beliefs, societal expectations, and self-imposed labels, specializing in guiding women, particularly mothers, through a journey of rediscovery, empowerment, and financial freedom. She is passionate about helping them reclaim their voices, embrace their truth, and build lives filled with confidence, joy, and abundance. You see, Ainsley has over 15 years experience in the coaching and transformation industry, and she began her career in fitness and nutrition. She opened her first private boutique studio immediately after university, and her success quickly expanded into 5 different locations. As a professional fitness athlete, sponsored athlete, and fitness model, she thrived in the world of health performance. However, after becoming a mother in 2016, her perspective shifted. She recognized that true transformation extends beyond physical fitness. It begins with mindset, self-talk, and deep unconscious pattern. Her personal journey through growth, spiritual awakening, and overcoming emotional and financial challenges ultimately led her to the work she does today, empowering women to step into their most confident, authentic selves. I'm so excited to dive into today's episode. Hope you enjoy. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of When Spirit Calls. Oh, I am so excited about our guest today. And I'm going to let her tell you her story because I think she's got a pretty powerful one that many, many people out there can relate to and connect with. And in fact, I connected with her story too. So, Ainsley, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am so happy that you are sharing the story with the rest of the world now and really allowing yourself to come into your full authenticity, which we're going to talk about a little bit today. But why don't you get us started? Why don't you share us the story of your experience as you move through life and come to be this incredible entrepreneur? And I mean, I got to say, you hit all the marks, the mind, the body, and the soul. So dive in.
Oh, thank you so much for your kind words. Okay, we're just going to dive right into it to a point where I had it all and then I lost it. And that brings me shivers because that hits me to my core. I, straight out of university, opened a very successful business. I had the husband, the house, the dogs, a motorcycle. I even had a horse. I was living the dream. Yeah. Now, at that time, I was a fitness trainer, nutritionist. I'd opened a gym that's quickly expanded to 5 locations. I was a professional fitness competitor. But at the end of the day, I was completely empty inside, and I didn't realize it until much later. Once I became a mother in 2016, everything changed within me. Mm-hmm. And I sold my business. I sold the motorcycle. I sold the house. I sold my horse and everything. And I gave up every piece of who I was. And I remember this day so vividly where I had 2 babies at home with me, and I was on the floor in my pajamas in what was supposed to be one of the most glamorous moments of my life. At this time, I was a stay-at-home mom, 2 babies, and I realized I was completely miserable. And I always say to this day that my second baby, who was a newborn at the time, is an angel who brought me some strength. I realized very quickly I was in a high conflict, emotionally abusive relationship. And I wanted to stay so badly because I had a fear of missing out on my children's lives. But what was more important to me was that they needed a healthy, happy mother first. And only I could save them from that situation. And so with no job, no business, a newborn and a 2-year-old on each hip, I left. And she brought me that strength of, you know what, you're just going to figure it out. And here we are, 7 years later, okay, of rebuilding. It was time for me, you know, to look in the mirror at that time. And I remember very clearly, I call it my house arrest stage, actually. I left. Yeah, I left and I rented this tiny little house. And I had two mastiffs. And as I said, a newborn and a two-year-old. And I had no job, no daycare. And it's house arrest. I put the kids to bed at 7 and I couldn't leave.
Right.
And so instead of diving into Netflix, every night I dove into the rabbit hole of personal development and spirituality. And I really realized that it was time to look in the mirror. You know, why was I in this situation? What got me here? What roles did I play? You know, it's not to say that, of course, infidelity and abuse is right, but what are the roles and the patterns that got me in those situations?
Yeah.
And so, you know, going down that journey of really looking within and deciding how I can break those patterns and being self-aware really pulled me out of that dark place. Mm. And somehow, every single day, I thank the universe and I thank God. I don't know how I made it through those dark times, but I think it just comes from believing in yourself bit by bit. Mm. And like I said, we're 7 years later now, and I'm really proud of where we've all come, my kids and I, in terms of, you know, the personal growth, the confidence, self-awareness, and our spiritual journeys as well.
Ainsley, this is such a potent story because I think that there are many, many people who've experienced something similar in some level where, you know, we had it all. You know, that was a big part of my story too. I had the fancy car and the house and the daughter and the son, like the $1 million valley, $1 million life, right? And I was so empty and I was so disconnected.
Exactly.
And, you know, the struggle in leaving those situations, you know, is real, right? You had to go through some difficult times, not working, having to rebuild from basically nothing.
Sure.
And the reality is that you said something really important there. You said bit by bit. I started to believe in myself bit by bit again. You know, if you did it once before, you could do it again, but this time with wholeness in your heart, with fulfillment, with connection. So, Ainsley, where are you now? You know, what are you doing now with all of that experience? Because that, you know, I talk about life being like our PhD and our master's for what we're supposed to be doing.
So true.
Right?
So true. Yeah. You know, I've always had a passion for helping women. I've been a trainer and a coach since 2010. And while my services used to be surface-based, the deeper I've gone within myself, and now I realize that the umbrella of wellness, you know, our mindset, our thought process, our self-awareness, breaking patterns and cycles is so important to all of the facets of our lives. It's so much more important than that 1 hour in the gym. And so I have recently relaunched a coaching platform called The Authentic Academy, where I help women in transition, basically fast forward what I went through with community as well.
I love that you're helping women to fast forward through those life's transitions. Because let me tell you, it feels like a dragging process when you're in it. It's so painful and everything feels like it takes forever to move forward. And so you have kind of mastered this way of really helping us to leverage our own self-awareness, our belief in ourselves, and really catapult to the other side. So what are the big things? Like, I really want to dive into this now because you obviously learned a lot through that process. And you did mention self-awareness, but what were your big things, the big learnings, the big lessons that you really have pulled from that experience that you went through?
Yeah, you know what? I have three top tips I'm going to get into real quickly. But before I do, there's just one thing I want to say, because there was a really important lesson that I had to learn as I started this journey, was that before I had children, once I decided I wanted to do something, it was done. Mm-hmm. And there was no waiting game. There was no requirement for patience. Mm-hmm. And so once I started this journey of changing myself and spirituality, I felt very frustrated and like my hands were tied, because I'm like, well, the kids need me and I just want to be here learning and doing. And so a huge lesson was that, you know, you are where you're meant to be and you have to just slow down.
This is so potent as we lean in, because there is this also this part of us that feels like you said, I want it here in the now. We're very much in the now. You know, I want it now. You know, you send an email. Where is the email? It's supposed to come back right away. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we've created this expectation that everything is like bam, bam, bam. And right. I think that once you have kids, for those of you listening who have kids, you know that not only do you strengthen your patience muscle, like really big time, but
yeah.
you do also learn that not everything needs to happen right now. And at the same time, you know, you mentioned fast forwarding women through the transition, but also having that understanding that we can move through it faster when we're willing to slow down. And I know that doesn't make any sense, but it does. My coach once told me, one of my mentors once told me, you need to slow down to move ahead. Even though that might sound backwards, like, well, no, that I got to keep going, got to keep going. It's that that's pushing, that forcing energy that actually causes more resistance, more obstacles. And what I hear you saying, Ainsley, is like, we've got to be willing to slow things down. And that is actually the way to move things forward faster.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And it takes time to observe our patterns. It takes time to observe ourselves in that. And so if we're trying to read this lesson and move to a next one the next day, it's like you haven't really taken that time to understand what you're trying to break in the first place. So
yeah. So you know, in that way, you don't, you know, necessarily fully heal, or you don't get the full lesson or the value out of the experience.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Slow down to move ahead.
Yeah.
That's a big, big lesson there.
It is.
All right. So let's dive into your tips now, because I know that you've got
these
four tips and I want to hear.
For sure. So the first one we did touch on is where you are where you're meant to be.
Mm.
But the biggest piece to this one is you don't have to stay there.
Ah. Oh, I like this. I like that second part.
Yeah. And so you are where you're meant to be. It might be a difficult situation, but you have to take the action and learn the lessons to move through it. Mm-hmm. Right. And so you can sit there in the shitstorm if you want to, or you can take the steps to get out of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I believe that we're put in situations to grow and to learn from. And so if you don't receive those lessons and that growth, you're going to stay stuck until you do. On repeat.
Yeah, I was just going to say, or you keep going again and again, and you're like, yeah. Why does this keep happening to me, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It might be a different relationship, but similar patterns, right?
Right.
Until you learn how to break free of that. So that's a huge one.
I really love that. You are where you're meant to be, but you don't have to stay there. And
yeah. And a big piece of that is enjoying the journey. You know, we all want the end game, right? And we all want to be healed. We want to be fixed. But part of you are where you're meant to be is enjoying that journey as you get there.
Amen. Yeah. I think that's so potent, because I think so many of us are in a hurry to achieve the next thing. You know, as an achiever myself, you know, it was always, oh, what's next? What's next? So I'd get to where I wanted to be. I wouldn't even let myself revel in it or celebrate in it. I'd be like, oh, well, then there's this thing over here and this thing I have to work towards. So, and it became this like trudging kind of experience. I'm missing the point, guys. If I'm missing the journey, I'm missing the point.
Absolutely. And you know what? Growth and healing is a lifelong journey. We can't skip the in-between. We may as well enjoy it.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The second one is that joy is your responsibility. So when I was in that toxic relationship, I often found myself saying, you know, I'm lonely. I'm not happy with you. It was always someone else's fault. When really it lies within us first.
Yeah.
So it's that self-love. It's prioritizing ourselves. It's finding that joy in everyday life that doesn't depend on someone else.
Yes. And so many of us, I think, Ainsley, we have these codependent relationships where we're like, oh, I'm relying on so-and-so to show up to make me happy. I'm relying on so-and-so to meet my expectation that I placed on them, by the way.
Absolutely.
And when we're hurting and when we're a place of suffering, it's really easy to point the finger elsewhere, isn't it? Like,
absolutely.
It's so easy to be like, well, they did that, you know? They showed up in that way. They were really negative. So it's their fault that I'm also cranky because they were negative, right? Yeah. I actually did this a bit this morning. So both my kids woke up cranky this morning. And I'm a morning person. Like, I get up and I feel the joy of God in the morning and, you know, I'm in my zone and I'm playing music, you know, I'm like in the zone and my kids are stomping around and whining and cranky and all of the things. And I start to let them get to me. And then all of a sudden I was like, they're putting me in a bad mood.
Yeah, sure.
And I was blaming the kids this morning. And so as soon as I heard that thought come to my mind that they're putting me in a bad mood, I was like, wait a second. I have a choice here. I have a choice, like you said, to create my own joy. And I could choose to let their energy come into my field and sink my ship. But I made a conscious choice this morning to say, I'm not going to let that happen. So what did I do? I turned on some more music that was a little more upbeat and happy.
Sure.
And then before I knew it, even the kids started to shift. Even the kids started to shift their energy. And it opened up this beautiful opportunity for me to have a really healthy conversation with my daughter. And even though she just sat there and listened and didn't respond at all, I knew it had landed because she didn't respond at all.
Right.
Yeah. So I knew she was thinking about what I was saying to her. And so, you know, it shifted everything. So we are responsible for our own joy. And if we want to be victims of our circumstances, okay, you can. You can. But you're missing out on a whole bunch of love, a whole bunch of joy. You know, the experience that we're meant to be living here is one that is joy filled.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, I heard this quote once. I think it's a stat that our true emotions last 60 to 90 seconds. Anything after that is a choice. And I love that so much because I think it's so easy to forget that we are the ones who choose our emotions and our reactions, which is beautiful because we can change them.
Yeah, we have the power to change them. That's the gift of free will that nobody really talks about or gives enough power to. The power of free will, it's a real thing, everybody, right? Yeah. A lot of people have lost that sense of power, free will, because the ego or the logical mind is so hooked into all the narratives and all the stories that have been placed on it or has experienced in the past that we don't even realize it. We're letting the ego make the choices. That's not true free will, is it?
Sure. I mean, it's so much easier to stay where in the emotion you're feeling and blame someone else for it than it is to take the time, shift your perspective, choose something different and move out of it, right? So, but it's really important to do.
Yeah, it is. It's such an empowered move, I think. You know,
right.
I felt really empowered this morning when I was like, oh, I don't need to allow my children's moods to negatively impact mine. Right.
Exactly.
And so, again, back to the fact that we have a choice. And so I don't know about you, but I'm choosing joy.
Of course.
Right? Yeah. Who would have to choose that? Right. Yeah,
absolutely. All right. Are we ready for the third one?
Yes, please.
OK. Self-care is not selfish.
Mm.
So I know as moms or busy women, we always feel guilty doing things for ourselves. Giving to everyone else, the to-do lists, all the things. But it's really important to remember that, you know, we've talked about we need to slow down. We've talked about our time is limited, but setting aside even 5 minutes for yourself every day is going to fill your cup and bring a better version of you to those loved ones.
Yeah. You know, I think this is a really important conversation to be having. And as a mom, was riddled with a lot of guilt for a lot of years. And I don't know if anyone can relate to that out there, but, you know, I was running a business when my kids were babies. So that required a lot of my time and capacity. And then I also needed my own time, heaven forbid, you know, I have a bath in silence without a kid knocking at the door or like, you know what I mean? Fingers under the door or whatever. And so it's something that's taken a lot of practice for me, to be honest. You know, I really was afraid of being seen as that selfish mom. And sometimes I would, like, my parents would watch my kids, or we would get childcare, and we'd go on trips. Like, we'd go away without my kids. And I remember other moms being like, you leave your children? And thinking like, oh my gosh, you don't? Like, right?
That's interesting.
Yeah. And so I remember, you know, when the kids were younger, like feeling actually very guilty for going on a trip or having my own space from them. But I also knew that when I came back, I was a better mom for them, that like my cup had been filled in some level. And in fact, just this weekend, I was at an event all day on Sunday and, you know, amazing event. I was facilitating. So I was on all day, you know, like I was basically working for 10 hours all day. It was a long day. And even though my cup felt full in some aspect, I was mentally drained and a bit physically drained. And so when the kids, you know, came home later that day, it was 8 o'clock and my daughter's like, I'm hungry. Can you make me something? And I'm like, I've already had supper. I cleaned the kitchen. Like, we're done, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, no, but you can make yourself supper. And she got really upset with me. And I said, listen, honey, I said, I've worked all day. I'm not making another meal. If you want to make yourself something, make yourself something. And then it was like this like painful kind of process and experience of like, well, I don't even know how to do it. She does know how to do it. But and what I recognize is that it actually wasn't about the meal. She actually just needed a bit of focus time for me from me. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so but I was willing to be firm in my boundary and say, I'm not making a big meal, but you can. And afterwards, I even went to her when I did have when I got a little bit more recharged from my day. I was then able to go and sit with her and say, I'm sorry, I didn't have the capacity to really understand what you needed in that moment, but you just needed some attention from me, didn't you? And she said, yeah, that's all I really needed. And so we had a great, healthy conversation about it. And I just didn't catch it in the moment, but I still, again, recognized that I just needed my time and I was willing to communicate that in that moment, even though in hindsight, yeah, I could have gone back and maybe done it a little differently. I didn't have the capacity in the moment.
No, we've all been there.
Yeah. Right? I was spent, right?
Yeah.
And so anyway, we had a really great conversation about it, but again, it's this piece around like, and she did say, she's like, you just were zoned out in your show. You didn't even acknowledge me. And like, I did, but not to the extent that she needed me to, right? Because
sure.
I was like,
sure.
I just had a long day. I'm just like, I just need some zone out time, right?
Yeah.
Mommy time out. Like, I needed the space, right?
Yes.
And so we had a conversation about that, right? So anyway, I guess the point is that I've had to work at this. And this isn't something that has happened overnight for me. You know, I think it helps us when we are self-aware. And like self-awareness is to me is a double-edged sword. Because sometimes I'm like, I wish I wasn't so self-aware.
Right.
I could just blindly through this experience or this process and not give a shit. But the reality is that, you know, I think having that self-awareness is what expedites our evolution and our growth, right?
I love that you brought up you traveling without the kids. Because before we hopped on today, I was thinking to myself, my identity was so deeply rooted in being a mom that I never went on trips without them. Because I didn't know who I was if they weren't with me. And I would watch all of these moms around me be like going on trips and girls' weekends. And I was sitting there being like, how? How are they doing this?
Wow.
Jealous, but still not strong enough to do it, you know?
Oh, my goodness. Well, isn't that interesting? And so you had really identified so strongly with your value being attached to being a mother.
That is huge, you know, and that's something I love to talk about with my clients is that I completely lost everything of who I was and buried myself in that title. And then I found myself on that inevitable kid-free weekend being like, who who am I? What do I do? I have no friends left. I don't know what to do with this, you know? And it's beautiful that I got to rebuild myself. But I think a lot of us as women lose who we truly are in the day-to-day life.
I think so too. And I think people lose that with their jobs too, right? They lose a part of themselves in their work and they feel like that's their worthiness. That's how they contribute to the world.
Right.
And I think this like brings about this opportunity for us to really sit down and think about who we are. Like, what are the labels that we give ourselves?
Yes.
We had done an exercise. This is a few months ago with Alana Newton-Joy, and she's a hypnotherapist, and she had us write down all the labels we associate with ourselves. And then we had to go through a process where we actually narrowed down the labels to just one, and then we actually threw all the labels out. And she's like, who are you now? You're still here. You still exist. You're still contributing to the world without any of those labels. And it was a really beautiful kind of shift for us because it allowed us to kind of let go of whatever, however we were defining ourselves and recognize that we're this expansive, you know, moving being, this energy of light that is not necessarily meant to be confined to the label, so to speak, but to honor ourselves as this beautiful essence moving through the world. So, you know, I mean, that's an invitation for everyone to really think about chucking those labels and how they'd identify themselves and really getting back to like the core of what you are, which is a bunch of molecules that are condensed together. That's what you are.
Yeah, exactly.
A bunch of molecules.
Well, it's what lights you up when you ditch the labels and remove all those hats. What lights you up, right?
Yeah.
And
I don't know about you, but I felt so free in that and like letting go of those labels that like, you know, what is it that really I am led to? What am I called to? What am I drawn to? What is my heart guiding me to? And I think we're starting to see this where more people are letting their hearts lead them through life, through the experiences, right?
Yeah, it's really beautiful. You know, and just to tie back into that third point is that it doesn't have to be a grand routine. It doesn't have to be up at 5 a.m. meditating and working out and doing all the things we see online. It can be pulling over on the side of the road two blocks before your house and taking 5 minutes to breathe. You know,
yes.
it can be taking an extra 5 minutes in the bathroom at work. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be grand. It just has to be you with yourself.
I love that. You know, it's so potent because as I was driving home with the kids yesterday from a very busy evening of dentist appointments and hockey game and all of those things, the light was shining through the clouds and making those rays. And we
call
them God rays. We call them God rays. And I was like, oh my God, you guys, look at the God rays. Because one of the things I love to do is invoke that, you know, that on wonder. And to me, pointing that out to the kids and my joy and my delight that I was able to bring to the surface for them, to me, that was a form of self-care. And in fact, I even put my kids to work because I was driving and I said, can you guys take pictures for me? So even my daughter took out her phone and my son's got my phone and they're both taking pictures like in the moment with me. And to me, I was like, okay, this is a moment of self-care because old versions of me, I would have just taken that in myself and not said anything and just kind of enjoyed it. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, I mean, they're busy, they're doing their thing. You know, I wouldn't want to interrupt whatever they're, you know, thinking or doing or whatever, but really making a point of that. And the sky became so incredible last night for us as a whole way home. I mean, later on, the sun turned this beautiful orange color. It actually looked like there was a fire in the distance. Like it was so cool. So again, the kids are taking pictures now. They're right. So, you know, again, to me, you know, taking a moment to like take in nature is a form of self-care for me. And then if I'm sharing that with them, it actually amplifies that whole self-care experience, I think. When my kids see me taking care of me, working out every day, you know, again, that sense of awe and wonder. Oh, another situation. I got so many stories from yesterday. Ladybug. Ladybug is on the car. Sloane's like, Mom, you have to drive slow. There's a ladybug on the window. It's what's going to happen if it blows away, you know? And so then we took a moment to say, you know, I connected her with the spirit of the ladybug and what they mean and, you know, all of those things. So again, these moments of presence as part of our self-care as well, and then being willing to share that and let other people be witness to that, it has a huge ripple, I think.
It does. It does. Just a quick other example is like, I'll notice if the kids and I had a bit of a rushed morning and everyone's feeling a little bit off, on our drive to school, I'll say, hey, guys, I'm going to list 3 to 5 things that I'm grateful for. If you'd like to participate, that'd be great, but you don't have to. And they always pipe in. But again, that's something I'm doing for myself. They get to witness it. And if they want to, they can practice it as well.
Yeah, I think it's so great, you know, that in the effort of allowing ourselves self-care, that in turn is creating such an incredible ripple for our families and friends and whomever else it might reach. So
absolutely.
Yay to that. Okay, I loved these tips. Fantastic. Any kind of like thing that you want to share in terms of like a summary, or like, is there a quote that you love? Anything that you want to say to kind of wrap that portion up? And then, of course, we'll let everybody know how they can reach you.
Sure. This quote came to me the second you said that, so I know I have to share. What you aren't changing, you are choosing.
What you aren't changing, you are choosing. Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
A big one for me. I mean, it relates to so many situations, and the journey is never linear. It's ups and downs, it ebbs and flows. And, you know, we all have hard times, and just don't get discouraged. Keep going, keep moving through that change.
Amazing. This has been so much fun. I feel like,
yes.
Oh man, I just like, there's all these other stories that just keep popping.
I know.
All this, like, you go on forever, but you know, got some really incredible takeaways. So Ainsley, what have you got in store for our audience? If they want to connect or hear more from you, what can they do about that?
So my website is theauthenticacademy.com, but I would like to gift everyone viewing this a 20-minute Akashic record reading, which is essentially the library of your soul. So I'll drop the calendar link below, and I would love to connect with everybody one-on-one.
Okay. So for most of our listeners, they are familiar with the Akashic records because, of course, they've been listening to some of the
others.
They know that this is like passion for me. And yes, Ainsley has been a student of mine. So for those of you listening, this is a beautiful gift that Ainsley is offering all of you. And more than that, you know, if what Ainsley has shared and how she shared it is resonating with you, and you feel that she could be someone who can really support you along your journey and transition, please do reach out. All of the information, the link to book, is going to be in the show notes. So just click on that underneath the recording. So Ainsley, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It has been such a joy to have you. And I can't wait to see you coming back on Spirit Minds.
Yes.
Coming up. And so you'll be around. So thank you. Thank you for taking time to be with us. For those of you listening, thank you for tuning in again. I hope that you have notes or at least some wisdom that has been imparted on your spirit today that will help you along the way. Lots of love to all of you. And until next time, be well. Bye, everybody. So happy you could join us today. And we hope that you found comfort and inspiration with wherever you are at right now. If you feel you received a gift in today's message, please pass that gift along to a loved one by sharing this episode with them. To continue this conversation, please join me at rosehope.ca, and when you do, be sure to access your free gift by signing up for the When Spirit Calls newsletter. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again soon.